Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. And that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when the MacBook is Air. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. And I am having a few laughs today because today is light mode day, also known as the beginning of daylight savings time.
Yes, sir.
Which is my favorite day of the year. So I'm very happy
today. Dude, driving home today, and I was like, it was like 5:30, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's light out.
Yeah.
The sun isn't imminently setting. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is by far my favorite day of the year. Birthday's fine. Holidays are nice. This is my favorite day of the year. When we get an extra hour of sunlight, it's so nice.
And the weather was good. I don't know what it was like for you, but here it was absolutely beautiful today.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. It was like very clear in the early afternoon, got a little bit cloudy, but still pretty nice. I was very happy.
I have to say, I didn't think that I was being so easily corrupted by the California lifestyle, but according to some comments here, I guess me wearing a zip-up hoodie was enough to make me a full Cali tech bro. So unfortunately, my integrity is compromised, and I imagine it's all downhill from here.
I mean, are you forsaking the classic plaid look that we've come to know and love?
Kind of. Well, okay. I've evolved. Like, plaid comes in many forms. For example, this shirt is actually plaid. You see that? It was hiding.
The compression did not do you justice there, I think.
Well, it's plaid. It's just like an exploded plaid, but it's there. So
I see.
It's an undercurrent, but it's not an everyday thing anymore.
Okay. That's good. That's very good. I've also recently evolved my style. You can't tell from this outfit, but I literally went and I finally bought clothes for like the first time ever.
You're saying, let me get this straight. You exchanged money and in return received articles of clothing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, it wasn't cash, it was a credit card, but you could call it an exchange of money. So yeah.
That's insane. I've been trying to get you to do that for years. Where did you go? Was it like, and please don't tell me it was like a Goodwill.
It wasn't Goodwill, it was Target.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'll take it. What'd you get? Are you wearing your haul? Can we do a Target haul?
This shirt is just a random shirt because I was wearing a tank top before, but.
Whoa. Look at Mr. Stylish over here with the blue shorts.
Jeez.
I like it.
Yeah, we've got some new shorts and we've got some new shirts as well. So very exciting.
That's very good to hear. Given that most of Noah's wardrobe was gym shorts that he's had since high school and free Google-related merch and maybe a couple of like band t-shirts, this is a big step up.
Yeah, that is very true. So we're both moving up in the fashion world. We're fashion influencers now.
Absolutely. I imagine it's only a matter of time before Noah and I are walking the runway for Versace.
Yes, definitely. And yeah. And now we can move from the world of fashion back to the world of tech before this becomes a fashion podcast.
I think it already has, but I see your point and I'll raise you one. Let's talk about the M3 MacBook Air because it just came out on Friday. So, you know, we got to talk about the new one. And I'm not going to lie, Noah. It's fine. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's about what I expected based on, you know, what they announced, what the new specs are.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is faster. Like, you know, as you would expect for being just a chip upgrade, you do get a little bit more performance. The video editing performance was the biggest difference that I noticed. Like, it's actually pretty quick for video editing. So if you want to buy a MacBook Air and you're a video editor, honestly, totally doable. The M1 and the M2 were smooth. Like, the timeline performance is good, but when it comes to rendering and exporting, it takes a bit. It takes a bit. But now the M3, honestly, it's like as fast as an M1 Pro or Max for export. It's really good. It's actually faster.
That is pretty impressive, I have to say. I've been thinking lately, because I've been doing a lot of traveling, which is part of the reason why we have been very spotty with our filming schedule. But well, we've both been doing some traveling lately. But but in my traveling, I'm like, you know, I just got back from a trip 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and I didn't bring my laptop. I brought my work laptop because I had to do some work, but I didn't bring my personal laptop because I'm like, it's a 16-inch MacBook Pro. It's pretty big. It's pretty bulky. It's kind of heavy. I mean, it's not that bad, but it's kind of heavy if you have it on a backpack and you're taking it on the plane all around, whatever. And so I didn't bring it because I'm like, you know, it's kind of heavy. But then I was like kind of bored on the flight because I just had my phone and I was just like, you know, doing whatever on my phone. So then I'm like, I'm about to go on another trip in 2 days. And I'm like, I got to bring my Mac because I'm going to be on a plane for a while and I'm going to get bored. But then I was like, you know, a MacBook Air would actually be pretty nice because it's so small and so light that like it would be perfect for that. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Well, so here's my question to that, which would be if the situation is such that you don't need to bring your 16-inch, right? You're not doing anything with it while you're there. It's not your work laptop. You want something for entertainment. Why not bring your iPad Pro?
It's a good question. I think there's two reasons. One of them is like, okay, one small one is like, if I'm gonna be using it for like watching movies realistically, then I would kind of rather have the bigger screen, you know, the 16-inch screen, even 13-inch. If I had a 13-inch MacBook Air, hypothetically, still be bigger than the 11-inch iPad Air. But that's just part of it. The main reason, though, is because the trick that I've found for flying is if I come up with an app idea and I just code that app from scratch during the flight, like, that makes the time fly for me. So then I kind of have to have a Mac in order to do that, you know?
That's the weirdest rationale for having a Mac instead of an iPad that I've ever heard, but I'll allow it. What I'm hearing, though, is a lot of people saying the elephant in the room, why did you return the Vision Pro? Noah, that would have been pretty good for that, don't you think?
I wanted to ask you about this because I was going to, okay, I'll answer the question first and I'll say, yes, the Vision Pro would be great for that, but given the weight and the discomfort and all of that stuff, I think it would bother me too much. I don't think I could go, you know, I'm about to go on a 5-hour flight. I'm going back to the East Coast. So I don't think I could put it on for 5 hours or 6 hours. The way back is like 6 hours. I don't think I could put it on for that long and have it be comfortable, even for a movie, you know, 2 hours for a movie. I still think that it would end up being uncomfortable if I'm sitting, you know, straight up in an airplane seat. Maybe I'm reclined a little bit, but mostly sitting straight up. I don't know. I think it would be a little bit uncomfortable for me.
Interesting. Well,
so I want to ask you, do you still use yours?
I do, yes. I actually also just used it on an East Coast cross-country 5-hour flight on Thursday. And what I will say is I obviously did not have the same amount of issue with the weight compared to your use case.
Yeah.
However, the thing is, when you're in the air on an airplane and it's pressurized, something about that makes it more uncomfortable. Like, I could feel the pressure. I think it's just because, you know, when you're on a plane, sometimes you feel it right up here in your sinuses, just from the pressure differential. And I think Vision Pro being on there, something about being in on a plane, I was really suffering. Huh. Like, honestly, I experienced for the first time that, like, oh my God, get this off of my head feeling that I have not yet had. Like, it's been uncomfortable, it's been heavy, but I've never been like, I need to get this off my head until I used it on a plane. Now, keep in mind, I did use it literally from takeoff to touchdown, 5 hours straight, nonstop. But it was kind of brutal.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about that. There are people, I've seen things on Twitter about people taking them on planes. I don't think I've ever heard someone say that it's more uncomfortable on a plane like that. Have you seen that?
No. No, I have not. So that's part of why I was like surprised, because it kind of caught me off guard. I was like, wait, is this real? Like, it's to the point where I think I'm going to need to try it again. So I do have another East Coast flight that I'm taking in like almost less than 2 weeks. God. And I'll find out and I'll let you know if it continues to be a noticeable trend. But man, it kind of did make me want to do that method that I saw on Twitter where somebody put a baseball cap on with a rubber band to like hold the Vision Pro up, because there was a bit there where I was sitting there like this, just holding it up with my finger.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, that's really interesting, because I was thinking about it. I don't know what prompted it. There must have been something on Twitter about the Vision Pro. And I was like, man, you know, I had that thing a couple weeks ago and I returned it and I haven't thought about that like pretty much at all. I'm going to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm excited for the next one. I'm excited for the future. But I did not have a second of like remorse that I returned it.
A single second.
I don't think so. I was just like, wow. Okay. I had this thing for 2 weeks. You know, I returned it. My life is back to the way it was before. And you know, I don't really think about it too much. I'm going to be honest.
Dang. I mean, I will say that the hype is definitely worn off now. Like, this isn't even something that I use every day. I will say that. Now, as to whether or not that's worth it is dependent on the long term, right? Like, there are some $3,500 things that you use every single day, and there are others that you don't. I've spent $3,500 on a MacBook that I haven't used every single day. So it's not necessarily a statement on whether it's worth buying, but I will say the number one issue that I'm having is it's just a thing that's on your head. And at the end of the day, sometimes you don't want a thing on your head. It's kind of simple as that.
That's true. I mean, it is a good point. Like, it's not something that you have to use every day, because there are plenty of things that you buy you don't use every day. Even my MacBook Pro, which is my only computer, not counting my work computer, it's my only personal computer, I don't use that every day. There are some days that I just use my phone, especially the iPad. I don't use the iPad like super frequently, but you know, I've had it for 5 years, so at some point it's become worth it over 5 years. But
yeah,
but I agree. It's not something that you need to use every day. But with the Vision Pro, I just didn't see myself using it like very often at all. And I think that was the real thing.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And like every time I see a cool use case or app on Twitter, I'm always like, oh, that's sick. Let me go try it out. But at the end of the day, like one example was somebody made a tuning fork app for Vision Pro where you can use it to like tune a guitar or a piano, and it has like a visual, it's just like a little widget that you can put wherever you want, and it shows your tuning, and it's super cool. I was like, that's actually awesome. But here's the thing. How many people are going to sit down at their piano and then put Vision Pro on? I mean, it could be useful. I'll tell you what. Oh, wait a minute. Sheet music. That's actually kind of sick.
Yeah. It could be kind of nice for sheet music or like tabs and chords and stuff. I could see that.
But then there's another issue. Let's say you're sitting at the piano, right? You've got your sheet music in front of you. A lot of people use iPads for that, by the way. Great use case. Mm-hmm. If you're in Vision Pro, obviously you have a lot more freedom. But I'm pretty sure sitting upright looking at your sheet music, your peripheral vision is not going to... You might not be able to see your hands.
Yeah. And I don't know... I would imagine that there are some people, like, I think if you're good enough at the piano, that doesn't matter, because like when I play the guitar or the drums, I can do it with my eyes closed. So like, and I'm not even good at those. So like, whatever, like if you're good at enough, you can do it. But I feel like there would be a big market for educational material for this, where like you're learning and they could show, like, imagine an integration with like a piano where it could show you, like, you know, it could light up the keys you're supposed to press, or it could do like, you know, that like piano roll visualization that they have, where it would show you like,
sick,
when this dot comes to this key, you hit the key, whatever. So I feel like there could be some really cool education things if they don't exist already. But I agree that, you know, the peripheral vision, that would be a problem at that point. It definitely would.
See, but then when you say stuff like that, then I'm back on board. Because so the issue that I have with Vision Pro is that a lot of its features are like, hey, if I'm in Vision Pro, that would be useful. But in reality, you basically are putting Vision Pro on to do that. Like, yesterday I had Vision Pro on while I was cooking lunch. And the reason that I did that was because I had decided I was going to use Vision Pro to watch my TV show. Because during the day, there's a lot of glare on the TV, because I like to have windows open and experience the natural beauty of the world, which I then immediately shut out by putting Vision Pro on. So I guess maybe I'm just a loser. But, you know, I didn't want glare and reflections on the TV, so I put on Vision Pro. And because I had it on, I was watching YouTube while I cooked. And that's one of my favorite use cases. But today, when I went to go make lunch, I didn't already have Vision Pro on, so like I'm not going to go get it, put it on just to make lunch and then take it off again. That'd be weird.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like I tried when I had the Vision Pro, I was like cooking, I think, or doing the dishes or something, and I was like, "Okay, I'm going to have my big screen and I'm going to watch a video, whatever." And it was nice. It was a little bit sometimes it was annoying, cuz like if you move around, there's no way to make the screen follow you right now. You know, it stays put in place, which is usually a good thing, but in this case, you know, maybe not ideal. But like before I had Vision Pro and now after I have Vision Pro, I usually just put my phone like on the counter and I just listen to the audio, and occasionally I'll look over at the video if there's something like, you know, something relevant that they're like, oh, look at this thing. I'll go look over at my phone and see what it was on the video. And like, yeah, it's not as good of an experience, you know, by far it's not as good of an experience, but like, it's fine. It works. It worked before, it works now. It's fine.
You know what? I just realized something to solve that problem.
What?
Apple needs to make a Minecraft hotbar for Vision Pro. Or like a dock. Imagine if you had like a little hot bar where you could just drag a window instead of minimizing it, right? Like with the traffic lights on a Mac, you just drag it down there, and then you have this thing that follows you around, so that you can store a window down there and then bring it around and then pop it out. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like the window management on Vision Pro can definitely be improved. So I agree, like the ability to minimize a window, because right now it's like either the thing's open or you hit the X button and it closes it. And if that was the only window in the app is functionally closed. So some way to minimize a window, some way to say, you know, I want this window to be locked in place versus I want this window to follow me around. Because like, I feel like the fact that you can't have anything follow you around is mm-hmm. kind of weird. Like, I feel like there are some use cases where you would want that. Like if you're watching, you know, if you're watching something while, and I guess that's kind of how Vision Pro is. It's like not really meant for you to use while you're walking around, but like, mm-hmm.
but like at this point, like, you know, there's so many things that it's not meant for that it makes you go, what is it actually meant for?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, I'm not like, yeah, it's not meant for you to, you know, use it for walking directions. Like you're walking outside and you have some directions following you. Not yet. Hopefully in the future, but not yet. But like if I'm in my kitchen and I'm cooking something and I walk over to the sink and I walk over to the stove and I walk over to the refrigerator and, you know, if I could have my video follow me, that would be kind of nice. Like that would make sense.
I wish that they would just offer, and this is very easily done through software, by the way. What I want is a gesture or like maybe like a double tap or something that allows me to just like pin a video to my like peripheral vision. Doesn't even have to be mm-hmm. centered. Like I would love to, you know, if you're in Vision Pro and you're watching a video, why not just like double tap it and then the video comes closer to you and it sits kind of like over here and it just follows you around. That would be perfect. Like, legitimately, I would use it more if I could do that, because a lot of why I like to use Vision Pro is, as you said, you're kind of free to move around more than you are with a Mac, right? If I'm sitting here at my desk working on a couple of things, the things are here. It's a desktop. Even on a laptop, it's like I got to pick up this thing and carry it around. So the whole benefit of Vision Pro is that you don't have to do that. Your hands are free and you can move around. So it feels weird to sort of artificially introduce that limiting factor of like, well, now you have to bring your Windows with you. Because it's like sometimes I'll be sitting in here using it and I want to go to the living room. So I'm like, okay, there's two ways to do that right now. Way number one is grab it and take it for a walk. Way number two mm-hmm. is go to the other room and then go pinch it and bring it through the wall. Both of which are fine. They work. But it's like you just spend so much time moving windows around. Or it's like at this point, it would have been easier to just have a laptop.
Yeah, and I think that's like part of Apple's design choice for Vision OS of like, these windows are going to be physical, you know, physical objects. They're going to cast shadows. They're going to, you know, like you can walk mm-hmm. behind a window and it'll be like, you know, whited out, or it'll be like opaque so you can't actually see the content, but like it'll still be there. So there's the idea that like, you know, these windows are functionally, they act like physical things in the real world, which is really cool. But then there are some things like this where you we're like, we want it to be more of a virtual thing where it just sort of floats in front of your vision and it's not really in the world. And I think that kind of goes against Vision OS, the design, you know, principle of Vision OS as it stands. But I think in the future that there's no reason why that can't change. And I do think, you know, Apple's going to introduce what's it called? Like shared experiences. So if there's multiple people with Vision Pro, there were some different, there were like, I forget, there was like a picture. If you saw the picture that had like, there was like different modes of, you know, multi-party use. And one of them is like everyone's standing around and looking at something. One of them is like, there's like a screen and everyone's looking at the screen. And then one of them sort of like a mixed mode. So there's going to be like, you know, different paradigms of different ways of interacting with Vision Pro. And so there definitely could be this floating window thing in the future, but it's just not there yet.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that is something I'm very excited for when Vision Pro is more widespread. What I would love to see is like if you have two people with Vision Pro, I would love to see them communicate so that you can both see the same thing. Kind of like screen sharing, but not really. It would be more like physical object sharing. Could you imagine like multiplayer Vision Pro games with augmented reality aspects? Like, the potential is what excites me the most about Vision Pro. All of these things we talk about, there's a billion and five things that you can do with them. So I'm really, really excited to see where it goes. Man, I just think that it's so weird because we're in this strange like middle ground where right now I find Vision Pro lacking in features, to be perfectly honest. There's not that much that I really can do on it, but there's so much that I could do once the features are developed.
Yeah, and that's, I think, at the end of the day, why I'm waiting for the future, because, you know, I mean, part of it's hardware, you know, the fact that it's heavy and you know, the pass-through is how it is, whatever. But, like, a lot of it is the software, and, like, I think Vision OS is already pretty powerful, and, like, you see new things, like new apps coming out over time, and, like, Apple's gonna update Vision OS, they're gonna make it even better, and even other, you know, at the same time, there's gonna be more developers that are releasing apps and new, you know, new ideas and functionalities are gonna come to it, but that's gonna take time, and I feel like by the time we get to the point where there's, like, more interesting and exciting ideas, you know, a new Vision Pro hardware will be around the corner. So I'm like, you know, I'll get the new hardware.
Maybe not that soon. The rumor is 2027 for Vision Pro 2, which is...
I don't know
about that. A while. I know. I really hope that that's not the case because, dude, look, the things that we've said, it's now a month after launch, and we're like, well, Apple needs better cameras, lighter weight, and those are the big two. Maybe better battery life would be nice. Something like that. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of where we're at currently. But 2 years from now, almost 3 years from now, I think it's going to be a little bit hard to continue with this same pass-through cameras with the same amount of weight on your face for two and a half years. It's gonna get old pretty quick.
Yeah, I think that there's gonna be, okay, given the current Vision Pro, there's a lot of improvements that can come in software, so we'll get Vision OS 2 and 3 and 4 and whatever. It might be multiple versions. If it really is 2027, then we'll get multiple versions of Vision Pro multiple versions of Vision OS before the next Vision Pro comes. And that will do quite a bit for Vision Pro when Apple opens up, you know, more functionality. They allow developers to do more things with Vision Pro. You know, the existing iPad apps become native apps, and, you know, there's more features and becomes more powerful. But I agree, like, especially the pass-through cameras and the weight are going to be a problem. They're not going to get any better until there's a new Vision Pro, and I think that the competition is going to heat up because now that Apple has, you know, released their product and they've entered their market, like, mm-hmm. you know, what's the Meta Quest 4 going to look like? And there's some other wearables from other companies that have popped up and, you know, starting to come out. I feel like the competition is going to heat up. And in 3 years from now, it'll look different. Like, you can argue that Vision Pro is the best headset, the best headset out there. Maybe, you know, not in every way, but in a lot of ways it's the best. But in 3 years from now, I'm not sure if you'll be able to say that.
That's a good point. I'm not sure. I mean, even right now, I don't think it's the best value, the best overall, but
yeah,
that's a good point. It's, we'll definitely have to see. I'll tell you what, though, because somebody was asking earlier. Let me see if I can find this comment. Is the Vision Pro going to be like the next iPhone? Maybe. But I think this comment is pretty interesting. It's not the first iPhone. It's the very first mobile phone. Like, it kind of feels a little bit more like that. You know, the big briefcase with the brick thing that you got to like go, hello? It kind of feels more like that if you're talking about like a everyday use thing. Like, it's not. There's no way. I mean, the carrying case is like a big old thing. It definitely feels more like early days than iPhone days, if you will. But what I really want, and we've talked about this before, and we'll only mention this briefly before we talk about iPads. I want glasses. I want the Apple Watch version of Vision Pro because I think that would be sick. Incredible.
Yeah, I completely agree. The glasses are where it's at, especially because I already wear glasses, so I would just, you know, swap over to Apple glasses instead of, you know, whatever. I do like these glasses a lot, but I would switch to Apple glasses for that. But I feel like that's, I don't know, at the end of the day, I think the pass-through as the approach makes a lot of sense because it gives full control over the environment to the software. So it can, you know, dim, it can, you know, dim the environment, brighten it, it can replace it with the virtual environment, it can cast shadows from the windows, like all of that stuff that it can do. But at the end of the day, when I have to put these goggles like over, like on my face, sitting on my face in front of my eyes, and I'm looking at the world through cameras and video screens, it just doesn't, I don't know if it does it enough for me. At least the current Vision Pro doesn't. And I think, you know, given the how the past year is, I think you potentially agree. But, and maybe in the future when it gets better, maybe it will do it for me. But I think the glasses definitely would, because I like that idea. I like the idea of glasses a lot more. It's a lot less like isolating and like total. It really is the Apple Watch approach, like, you know, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, where Vision Pro doesn't have the ability to use it for navigation, glasses would. And I think that would be sick. Like, imagine if you could just put on a pair of glasses. I'm not even talking like full-on Vision OS. I'm talking very limited, like Watch OS is to iOS. Turn-by-turn directions. Doesn't even have to be augmented reality, like in the world around you. It could just be banner notifications or some more limited version like that. I think that has a lot of potential. And also for Apple to put in a camera for recording. Like right now, Meta has the Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer, which is like their smart glasses. And honestly, I think I'm going to get one just for the ability to record POV video. Like that as its own feature is worth $300 to me. Because, I mean, I guess it's a little different for me because I'm, you know, this is content. It's a tax write-off, you know. I'm going to basically use it as a camera. But like, imagine Apple's take on that plus some sort of translucent display for smart features would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think the video recording, you know, something like navigation, and like you said, it could just be like a floating thing in your peripheral vision. It can have, you know, your little left turn arrow and say in 100 feet turn left or whatever. And it can just be floating. It doesn't have to be in the physical world. But I agree that having those kinds of things, being able to overlay them on your vision, like you get a notification and instead of having, you know, it goes on your wrist and you look at your wrist, that's fine. It's not bad. But like, you know, if it gave you a banner notification or like a little pop-up in your peripheral vision and you could just immediately see it, know what it is, and decide if you need to act on it or not. Like, that's another use case. I think that there are quite a few use cases of things that would be useful that you could do with the glasses. Even like, you know, Safari, if you want to look something up. I feel like even, yeah, I guess it depends on what the thing looks like. Could you watch a video on it? Potentially. Maybe the video would move with you. It wouldn't be anchored into the real world, but I don't really care about that too much. I don't know. I feel like there is quite a bit, even if you can't watch videos, even if you can't have like big windows and it's just like stuff in the corner of your vision, I still feel like you could get a lot, and it really would be like an Apple Watch, but you could get a lot of value out of it that way. I would like that.
You know what else I would like, Noah?
What?
A transition to the iPads.
Oh, well, you've got it.
Thank you. So, here's the deal. I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous, I'll be honest. Because... So, here's the problem we have. The iPad has a decent number of rumors, which all sound pretty tempting. You know, we're talking OLED screens, maybe a bigger display, new design is what we're hearing. But the thing that we haven't heard is software. What is the software? And I think we're in this period of time here where most people aren't seriously considering buying Vision Pro. So the iPad definitely has a place as the more go everywhere type of device. It's, you know, like we're talking about, you might not want to bring your Mac on a plane, but you could easily bring an iPad. So the iPad has the capability to basically hold us off until Vision Pro is like truly smart glasses. But with the current focus of the iPad, I don't really know if this new one is going to be worth buying. It sounds like a nice iPad, but not really that much better than what we already have. What do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking about it because I'm like, you know, my iPad is 5 years old at this point. It's still a solid device. I will say, I think I've noticed it slowing down a little bit, especially really? When... I think the main thing is when it first turns on, and because I always turn the iPad off because I don't use it that often and it will drain the battery if I just leave it in standby. So I always turn it off. And when I turn it on, I notice for the first, you know, 5+ minutes, it's kind of slow. And I think it's usually pretty good after that. But, you know, it's a 5-year-old thing. It's showing its age a little bit. And I was thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, if I got because I'm like, OK, I have my M1 Max MacBook Pro 16-inch right now. And I'm kind of considering, I'm like 40% considering getting a 13-inch MacBook Air so that I could use, you know, specifically for like travel and stuff. Yeah, like just, really? Just like a smaller, lighter thing, 40% considering. And then I'm like, okay, well, what if it's an iPad? Because I could justify replacing my current iPad a little bit more than I could justify getting a second, you know, Mac laptop. But then I'm like, you know, okay, it's an iPad, right? And if I get, you know, I'll get the new, I have the old keyboard folio, whatever it's called. So it's just a keyboard. There's no trackpad. And I'm like, okay, if I get the keyboard with the trackpad, it's a little bit more like a Mac, but it still has iPad OS. At least the current ones still have iPad OS. It doesn't have proper windowing support, or at least what I would consider to be proper windowing support. I'm not a fan of Stage Manager. And it's not powerful. Like, I can't write code on it. The processor is powerful enough that I could, by all means. But, like, the software, like, I can't run... I use IntelliJ as my IDE to build apps. And that's not going to run on an iPad. So,
yeah.
Unless Apple... If Apple does something to the iPad this time, where you can run Mac OS, you can run Mac OS applications or whatever, I would seriously consider it. But if it's still iPad OS... I don't know. iPad OS is just not doing it for me.
That is really interesting because I agree with you for sure. The idea of having a Mac and an iPad for that exact scenario, and I think specifically your combination of 16-inch MacBook, 11-inch iPad, on paper sounds really great because you've got the performance and the screen size for when you want to do serious work. But when you want to do something a little bit more casual, the iPad can fit that really well. The problem is, like you said, it just can't do as much. Sometimes we don't want a 11-inch iPhone. We want, honestly, the Retina 12-inch MacBook. Like,
yeah,
can we just bring that back? I feel like that might be the answer to all of our problems.
Dude, if they had that Retina MacBook with Apple Silicon and a Magic Keyboard, I might honestly end up getting one of those if they did that. It's so that was such a cute little, like, nice form factor. That was good.
Yeah, dude, I have one. I've had many over the years. Right now I have the 2017, so the least awful variant of it. Man, that thing is slow, but oh, dude, here, let me grab it and I'll show you. I mean, the thing actually this week marks 9 years since that MacBook came out. Can you believe that?
Wow. 9 years. It doesn't feel like that long, but yeah.
Not at all. And the thing is, it is still so tiny. Like, look, this is a 13-inch MacBook Air, okay? The 13-inch MacBook Air is not a big laptop. But it's still, look at how small that 12-inch was. It's utterly perfect. I love this thing.
That's so good. And it's just, because it's a little bit bigger than the 11-inch iPad. It goes right in between the 11-inch and the 12.9-inch iPads, but it has macOS full. I mean, I guess the keyboard and trackpad on iPads are pretty good now, but still, it runs full macOS.
Better than, like, a butterfly keyboard.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if they can have that thing with a 12-inch display and it runs macOS, why can't the iPad? I know it is a touch screen, but, like, whatever, it's
fine. I know, dude, come on. This thing is smaller than the biggest iPad and it has macOS, so, like,
yeah.
And this is on an Intel M3. Like, this thing is slower than probably an 8-year-old iPad. So the fact that we have, I appreciate that Apple wants to keep the iPad an iPad, but it kind of makes me wonder, like, can it be an iPad plus something else? Like, it doesn't have to no longer be an iPad. It can just be an iPad. Like, I would, this might sound sacrilegious, Noah, so I apologize in advance, but.
Okay.
Unironically, I think Apple should make a hybrid device. I know. Windows tried that in Windows 8 and they were terrible. But, like, what if you had an iPad that functioned as an iPad and then when you connected it to a keyboard went into Mac mode and it had a full operating system and file system?
I could honestly see, look, you have an iPad, right? And it has the same old home screen. Yeah. I know. I agree with you. It has the same old home screen that it has today. But when you open an app, maybe it's the same home screen and it has, you know, a menu bar now. Instead of just having a little date in the corner or whatever, it's like a proper menu bar. And then you open an app and the home screen goes away like it does. But then the app opens in sort of like a windowed mode. And then it's as if you're on a Mac. And maybe there's no desktop. There can be a picture, but there's no desktop. But the window is still open in windowed mode. And you can put it in full screen and use it like an iPad, whatever. And then if you quit the app, you know, there's no apps open. Then instead of going to the desktop with all the files, it can go back to the iPad home screen. That's fine. You know, you can use the Files app if you want to manage your files. I'm fine with that. But it could go back to the iPad home screen. And that could be, I guess that's kind of what Windows 8 did, because they had the like the Metro tiles that would come up when you hit the Windows button, and then otherwise it would be sort of the desktop more traditional experience. And I feel like Apple could do it. I feel like the Apple software and the experiences are generally very good, and I feel like Apple could come up with a way to make that work, and it would be so much better. I'm thinking, like, imagine if they don't do that and they just say it's an iPad but you can run Mac OS apps on it. Like, would that be enough? That would be a huge improvement. I don't know. Maybe that would be enough for me. I'd have to see.
Yeah. Well, so, but there's more to it than that, though. Like, Windows and Mac apps are definitely a great start. But think of the other, like, right now the iPad is kind of tied down by the App Store. You kind of just need an app that's on the App Store. So what really needs to be the case is you should be able to go onto a website and download like a DMG to install an app that way. Like, you should be able to just download whatever you want and make it like a Mac. I almost wonder if there's a way that Apple could implement that without sacrificing the iPad OS experience. Like, what they would have to make it feel more Mac-y. Like, you'd have to have a downloads, like, you know, the little downloads drawer that expands out like that. If they added that plus like some sort of like file system that you could, not quite a desktop, but like you should be able to drag files around a home screen and run apps that would run on a Mac without downloading them from the App Store. And I think you could maybe, just maybe, implement enough features that you could still have it look like iPad OS and function like iPad OS while being more useful. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that there would be, and you know, someone here in the chat said macOS apps are never going to be on the iPad because they use small UI elements. It'd be a nightmare. And I think that's definitely, you know, that's definitely part of it, because especially if you're going to support the touchscreen, if you're going to say that everything you can do with the trackpad, you can also do with the touchscreen, then I do think that there are cases where you have, let's say, an 11-inch iPad and you're trying to, you know, touch things. It wouldn't be a good experience, but whatever. It's not a good experience, so you use the trackpad. There's a 12-inch, here's my point, though, that I'm trying to say. There's a 12-inch MacBook, or there used to be. Apple used to sell a 12-inch MacBook, and they sell a 13-inch MacBook Air right now. An 11-inch iPad is smaller than that. It's smaller than both of those things. It used to be an 11-inch MacBook Air. I'll put that out there as well, right?
That is so true.
So I don't think it's that. Okay, maybe the iPad Mini. I would argue the iPad Mini is pushing it a little bit, maybe pushing it a lot. But the iPad Pro, because this would, I think, be more of a Pro thing than an iPad thing. You know, if this, like, running macOS apps, running Windows, whatever, that would be a huge differentiator for the Pro. And then they have, you know, the 11-inch is not too small. If they made it a 12-inch, if they said the new iPad Pros are 12 inches and 14 inches and they run macOS apps and whatever, you know, then there's your problem solved, right? If they're going to have all these other improvements and it's going to be a big update, they could make them a little bit bigger if they need to, if that's what it takes for the experience to be good.
I've cracked it. You've inspired me.
Okay.
Here's how Apple's going to do this, because there's a lot of, like you mentioned a couple of things, small UI elements being hard to tap with your finger. And certain iPads, like the iPad Mini, are realistically too small for like a macOS-like experience. So here's how you solve that. Pro mode only on iPad Pro. So iPad Air, normal iPad OS. But what should happen is on a Pro iPad, 11-inch, 12-inch, which might actually be getting bigger. Like, it might go to like 12-inch and 13-inch, which would be even better for this. But when it should look like a normal iPad with iPad OS and, you know, the stuff that we're used to. You don't have to get rid of that. But when you connect it to a keyboard and trackpad, boom, what should happen is this. Your homepage of iPad apps should move out of the way, leaving your dock and then introducing now your wallpaper as a desktop. So this is now like macOS mode, okay? You could have a bar drop down from the top and your apps move out of the way, and all of a sudden, boom, you've got yourself a desktop. And now you can use smaller UI elements. You can have windows on that screen. And yeah, maybe it'll be a little iPad-y, right? They could have like a little bit, the iPad mouse, right? That's a little bit more fluidy, and I actually like it quite a bit. But this would then allow you to kind of get some of that Mac OS-iness in there when connected to a mouse and keyboard. And accompanying that, it should also be able to run small UI apps. But I think if you did that, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, I think, I definitely think that Apple could crack the software. I fully believe that. And I think, you know, definitely it could be a pro exclusive thing that would do quite a bit to differentiate the iPad Pro from the iPad Air. I will also point out that the Pro MacBooks are 1 inch bigger than the regular or Air MacBooks.
Exactly.
So the Pro iPads could be 12 inches and 13.9 inches. There were even rumors that there would be a bigger iPad.
13-inch iPad Air. Did you hear that?
Yeah, so there were... Yeah, oh yeah, I do remember that. So there's, right, there could be 11-inch, 13-inch iPad Air. There could be 12-inch and 14-inch iPad Pro. There are even rumors of, like, an even bigger iPad Pro if, you know, whatever. Especially if there were, like, you know, this would be a great excuse for that. Like, imagine a 16-inch iPad Pro, you know, if it ran macOS like stuff. And I agree, you know, someone said in the chat, if Apple did that, they would drain sales from the MacBooks. It would compete with the MacBooks if it can run, you know, macOS apps and act more like a Mac. But
I don't think it would actually drain sales. I don't think it would. Because here's the thing. iPad Pros are more expensive than a MacBook Air. So immediately, not really a competition. And I think that there's a very good chance that this could be that perfect middle ground device. Like, you want a cheap Mac, MacBook Air, boom. You want a powerful Mac, MacBook Pro, boom. If you want that device that kind of does the iPad stuff, but it kind of does the MacBook Air stuff, the iPad Pro could fill that space and you could still have a regular Mac. I personally would have both in that situation. Like a 12-inch iPad Pro with a macOS type of mode. That sounds great. Because a lot of what I use my iPad Pro 11-inch for is completely undocked. Just running like a big iPhone, effectively. Just browsing Twitter, internet, YouTube, stuff like that. And I like it for that. The problem is it's not worth $800 to me. So, if you rejuvenate it with those new features, then I'm thinking, okay, this might be worth near Mac amounts of money because you would be able to do Mac stuff and iPad stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that this would be, I feel like, the perfect device for me because I have my 16-inch M1 Max MacBook Pro. If I want the bigger screen, you know, more screen real estate, and if I need, you know, whatever, additional power, more unified memory, whatever. I mean, do I need the spec that I have? No, I don't. But if I need the bigger screen, if I want the bigger screen and the more power and whatever, then I can use the MacBook Pro. But for those things like when I'm traveling and I'm like, it would be nice to have a laptop when I'm traveling, so I can use it on the plane, I can use it to watch videos, I can use it to look at stuff, you know, look at maps and stuff while I'm on my trip, whatever. I feel like that would be perfect. The 12-inch iPad that I can transform into a macOS-like thing So then I wouldn't have to worry. I wouldn't ever have to consider bringing my MacBook Pro with me on a trip. Leave it at home and do whatever the home stuff is with it. And then this iPad would be a perfect travel companion. So I could potentially see, you know, something where like someone's considering getting a MacBook Air, and yes, the iPad Pro, you know, might be more expensive all in with the, you know, the keyboard and trackpad and whatever. It might be more expensive all in, but you know, maybe you can do a little bit more with it. So some people would go up to that. So I could see it maybe a little bit, but I could see a lot of cases where people would have both. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Apple would do this. I wish that they would, but I feel like it could work.
I think so. And honestly, look, if Apple cannibalizes some sales, so be it. I would rather have, well, I guess it doesn't matter what I would rather. It's kind of up to them. But like, it seems to me that it would be beneficial to have more people have more options that are better versus right now the iPad is completely stagnant. Like, I mean, it doesn't really feel like it's going anywhere. I'm curious that you mentioned your 2018 starting to feel slower slightly, because I've also felt that as well. It's definitely just slightly starting to feel not brand new, which is still ridiculously impressive given that it came out 5.5 years ago. But the only reason that I would ever upgrade it is that if it felt a little old or a little slow or Apple dropped support. It would never be because, oh man, the new M2 chip and the basically same thing otherwise is so great and necessary.
Yeah. I really think it would be when this thing stops getting supported and it starts to feel slow, I would consider upgrading it, but even still, I don't think I would necessarily do it, because I feel like if it stopped getting supported, it would still work. It wouldn't get new features and stuff, unless there are like really cool new iPadOS features. I don't even know what that would be, but if there were something so cool that would make the thing so much better. But if it's just regular routine software updates, whatever, it can go for some time being on an old version. If apps start dropping support for it, I guess that's another story. But like, even if I got to the point where I'm like, I can't use this iPad anymore, it's not, you know, whatever, it's not supported and the apps don't work on it, and you know, whatever, it's too slow, whatever it is that like I don't want to use this thing anymore, I still don't know if I would upgrade it or if I would be like, let me see how many times I actually go and reach for this iPad. And then every time I think, ooh, let me use my iPad, should I just use my Mac? Should I just use my iPhone? Or do I actually legitimately want an iPad? And I think that I would have to prove to myself that I actually want an iPad before I would buy another one. That's how like uninterested I am in the iPad as it is right now.
That is really interesting. I can't say I blame you. I mean, I'm of the same mind. I didn't buy the M2 iPad Pro 12.9-inch, and I've thought about selling my M1. The only reason I'm keeping it at this point is for comparison when the new one comes out, but it is gone after that. Like, it really would take a lot of convincing. I think we're in a similar page where if it really came down to it, I would probably just sell the iPad and not have one versus upgrading. Like if Apple, or let's say for example, if your 2018 iPad Pro died, would you buy a new one or would you just say, oh well, no iPad?
I wouldn't rush to buy a new one by any means. I would, you know, like I said, I would just evaluate every time I think about, you know, using the iPad, I would evaluate if it would actually legitimately, you know, be an improvement versus just using something that I have. And I think in pretty much all of the cases that I use the iPad, I would be fine using my Mac or using my phone. And I don't think that I would get to the point where I would actually want to buy an iPad. Maybe if I found one super cheap, like a used one, super cheap, I would consider it, but like I wouldn't be rushing to get a new one by any means.
Yeah, and I know that people are going to say that we are not the target iPad users, and that's true. But I've never argued that the iPad isn't good for some people. The argument is that they're not expanding the audience. There's a very dedicated core group of iPad users for whom the iPad just is phenomenal. The problem is, even within that group, they're not upgrading every single year because it hasn't changed very much. There's not that much that you can do on M2 that you can't do on A12X. Additionally, the iPad was, for a good while, marketed extremely broadly. You know, from its very inception, it was marketed as like everyone will get an iPad and a Mac and an iPhone. We're everyone, and I don't think I need an iPad. So, you know, you're right that iPad Pro is for pencil peeps, sure, but that's not necessarily what Apple wants it to be. And so if they legitimately want all of us to be all, you know, everyone should have iPhone, iPad, Mac, the iPad needs work for sure. No question.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you can say iPad is for people that use the pencil, sure. But those people can buy an iPad Air and use the Apple Pencil with it. They could buy an iPad Pro. This hypothetical new iPad Pro, they could buy the iPad Pro and buy the Apple Pencil, or they already have one, and just use the iPad Pro with the pencil, and then never use the Pro mode, like you said. They would never attach a mouse and a trackpad and keyboard, and they would never switch it to Pro mode and use Windows, whatever. They can just use it with the pencil, and that would be totally fine for those people. We're not saying that the iPad needs to fundamentally change in a way that would, like, you know, mess up people that are currently using it, or that it would change in a way that people that are currently using it wouldn't like it. But I feel like if they could do this, where they could introduce, you know, sort of this Pro mode or this windowed mode or whatever you want to, you know, think about it as, I think that would do a lot to bring new people, like, or people like us who have an iPad but, you know, don't really care about it that much. It could bring new people in, and for those that don't care about it, you know, for artists and maybe students who are just taking notes and they don't want all the stuff, they can get an iPad Air, or they can get an iPad Pro with the pencil. They don't have to buy the keyboard. They don't have to use Pro mode, you know, whatever it's going to be. I feel like they could expand the iPad without alienating the current users, and it would go a long way for the iPad.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they should do that. But I also think that we're out of time.
I was going to say, because I said that it went a long way for iPad users.
Yes, it did.
You could say, you know what else went a long way?
Crap, I missed that because I was too busy thinking about iPad Mac Edition. Legitimately, I'm like, dude, it would be awesome because you could put it on.
I know.
Your apps would move out of the way. Oh, they should do it. I think, Noah, that we are right. I really hope that Tim Cook watches the podcast because we've just given him a ton of great ideas for free. Can you believe it?
That's true. We really should. We should do like consulting or something. We should charge for this.
I agree. We should charge $50,000 an hour. That's probably what we're worth with ideas like that. I mean, come on.
I mean, this was 1 hour. So that's $50,000 right there. And you get all those ideas. Like, that's the next iPad. That's the next 5+ years of iPads right there for you. I think.
And not only iPads, but we also had the idea for the glasses with like features. I had the Vision Pro dock and pinning windows. Like, dude, we just revolutionized multiple product lineups in 1 hour. I think that's worth $50,000.
I think at least.
We could replace Apple's entire R&D department, just you and me.
Yeah, and do it for $50,000. That would, imagine how much money that would save Apple.
Exactly. They would be over the moon. But unfortunately, the other thing that's over the moon is the duration of time that the podcast has taken, which is far exceeded normal length.
Yeah, that's
Like that one?
That was very smooth.
Thank you. Almost as smooth as this secondary transition to thanking you guys for watching this podcast. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will be off next week, but I think we'll... Are we going to be back after that?
What? Yeah. No.
No. Okay, what about the 31st?
No.
Wait, no?
No, I have a wedding. Okay. My cousin's getting married.
Well, I'm away on the 7th.
You are?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me the April 14th is our next episode?
I guess so.
Uh-oh. We messed up a lot.
We might need to do like an emergency midweek episode sometime in between there, because that's a long time.
That's a long time. Wait, what if we did a midweek episode next Wednesday, March 20th?
I could potentially, I have to see my timing, but potentially could work.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll tentatively suppose that hopefully we'll try a random funky midweek episode. But if not, in terms of our usual schedule, we'll see you guys in about 5 weeks.
Yeah, we'll do something before then. We'll definitely do something before then.
Uh-oh, stinky.
Yeah.
Damn. Oops. Anyway, thank you for watching. I've been your host, your now former host, I guess, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We'll see you eventually.
We'll see ya.